You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. I am Bear, alongside Trey Wallace.
What's up, buddy?
John Tyler, and Hayden, I don't know your last name. I know I've known you for like 6 months now.
I think it's Waller.
Waller?
Yeah.
Wallace?
Walland.
Walland. Okay. Anyhow, who cares? Yeah. Hayden's here with us, too, taking care of quality control. Russell will not be with us today. He's a little under the weather.
He's got the coronavirus.
I mean, we hope not, but I would imagine it's more of it's a 67-degree day, kind of 24-hour bug.
It's Daytona Day, Bear. We're not going to talk about it a lot. I know folks don't like NASCAR.
I don't know. Every show on this station's talked about it all day.
Okay, I hope so, because I'm excited. We got Daytona Day. It's cool. I waited and I waited and I waited yesterday, and they finally caught it last night.
They should have even started. If they were going to start that race yesterday, Trey, they should have started it at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And they could have gotten it in easily. It would have been a beautiful race.
Gotta help out the church traffic.
That and, you know, everything that went into yesterday. I don't know.
I know where you're getting at. I get it. I understand. It's the Southern Tour. That's what's going on.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, sing the national anthem, get in your cars, and let's go.
Start the engines. Okay.
Let's yeah. Now we have I don't need the Hootie and the Blowfish concert.
See, I didn't see that.
And all the other bells and whistles.
I didn't pay attention.
I don't need that humongous wrestler guy. The problem is if you're going to watch racing now for a certain group of fans, I can't believe we're starting the show and NASCAR Russell's going to kill us.
It's up 19%. Whatever. I don't care.
You want to tune in right when the green flag starts. Like, I hate all the cheesiness that goes on before it.
Yeah, always know. If they say it's going to start at 3, tune in at about 3:40. That's when they'll drop. No, but we're rolling today. It's The Drive. Russell Smith out, hanging out with Bear and the crew here. Coming off the weekend, oh, my goodness gracious, Tennessee basketball drops one in Columbia that honestly they should have put away with 5 minutes to go in the game. Ended up costing them at the end. Tennessee basketball drops. Tennessee baseball on a roll. I think they outscored Western Illinois 42-4 this past weekend.
Didn't we do this last year? We blasted, won three games. We did really good until we got in the conference schedule. That's where it's really going to come down to for me.
Was it 18 straight wins last year?
It was a lot.
18, somewhere between 18 to 20.
I expect us to be more competitive in the weekend series. He needs to win. We need to win some of them. And you can't get caught by the Tuesday. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday night?
Well, tomorrow they're going to play Charlotte.
So that like the midweek, you can't. Yeah, yeah, you don't want to drop many of those Tuesday Wednesday games.
No, because this weekend they're heading to the Round Rock tournament, which would be good. A couple of good teams in there. Stanford's playing in that. Houston's playing in that. We talked to Tony Vitello about that. We'll have him on this week as well.
We scored 45 runs this weekend.
45 runs. So 45-4.
45 runs.
So a good weekend for Tennessee baseball. Men's basketball team, like I said, drops a game to South Carolina. We're going to talk about that. I'll go ahead and put it out there just to kind of wrap up the weekend in Tennessee sports. Tennessee Lady Vols dropped one yesterday. And I don't know why they were promoting this game like it was a UConn game, but all week it was weird. Like, I couldn't figure out why. They were like, oh, this is going to be the biggest game of the season, biggest crowd of the season. And there are 12,000 fans there. I was like, okay, that's interesting. Interesting promotion of how they put that out there. But they dropped one. It was a good crowd yesterday. The curtains were down, but so good for them. Bad loss other than that. XFL this weekend, was pretty good. Like the DC, I watched the DC game a little bit on Saturday. I didn't watch much yesterday. I watched probably watched a full game with it combined. Cole Kubrick was fantastic on the sideline yesterday as well. That was pretty good. Had golf on this weekend. Didn't really captivate me with Tiger Woods. No. We're going to talk a lot about Rick Barnes today. Fulkerson just played fantastic. Now, look, the last 5 minutes, did it become harder to score for him? Absolutely. But when you go out and you have a career high like that, 25, and you're not getting any production from the rest of your players besides Pons, maybe a little bit of Vescovi, you're going to run into a lot of problems. Bowden had 5 points. Gaines had 2 points. Triple J, 9. Didn't expect a lot from Triple J, though, him coming back. But it was one of those games where Tennessee, they should have got out of Columbia with a win. They should have been able to go 2-0 over a four-day span and been looking nice with an opportunity to upset a few teams. But now you sit here and you're in a situation where Tennessee, in my opinion, is not playing up to its potential with certain players, and it cost them. And I don't, it's, I said this Saturday night when you guys were doing voluntary reaction. It's not a slump that Jordan Bowden's in. And Rick Barnes said it today at his press conference. He just ain't shooting the ball well. There's something else going on. If it's the mental hiccups, is what it is. But there's something else going on with Bowden. It's not just the shooting anymore.
I said Saturday during VR that I don't think that there's anything going on with Bowden. I think this is just who he is. Last year, his inability was masked a lot. And
have you gone back and looked at the box scores from last year?
Man, I'm telling you.
Because that doesn't fit with that narrative, man.
I think it's
you go back in the big spots that he came up in. We don't beat Vanderbilt. We don't he's the one who sparked
the
not getting beat by Vanderbilt last year. I mean, I know Grant was grinding away, but I mean that's way out, so far out of left field, man.
I completely understand that. I get that.
I mean, I realize he wasn't drawing the number one last year, but he's getting open. Getting open the way he's always liked to, you know.
He's coming off that curl bear.
Yeah.
Like you talk about a lot.
Yeah, where he doesn't have to think about it. He just gets it and shoots. I don't know what it is. I think he's up in his head too far. He's so far now, but he's still probably our best defensive player.
This is what Rick Barnes had to say today. We all feel for Jordan because one thing I will tell you, he has continued to defend at a high level, which is hard to do when you're not playing as well as you want to play on the offensive end. The other day, two different players missed a free throw and went down right after that and almost broke down on the defense, Vin, where they didn't let the missed free throw go. They weren't locked in as they needed to be and gave up on a defensive end. Here's a quote. For a guy that has struggled as much as he hasn't done that on the defensive end, and to be honest with you, we all keep thinking sooner or later it's got to happen. Obviously, he's having his worst shooting year that he's had since he's been here. We just hope it happens because he's doing what he should be doing, and sometimes it can be a mental block, and we can do everything we can to try to get him to understand that when he's open, he just got to shoot the ball.
Yeah, but the problem is now is that he doesn't have – his self-confidence is completely shot.
Yeah, mental block.
I mean, there were times at the end of that game where – I mean, they were leaving him wide open. He should have taken the shot.
Yeah.
I mean, he should have buried a three in Frank Martin's grill the other day when they were face guarding Vescovi. That last series. I mean, when he was trying to work it in Vescovi, he said, the hell with it. You're going to leave me open? I'm a senior.
He wanted nothing to do with that last shot.
Well, no.
He's
a basket guy.
But look what the dump down was, though. The dump down was to Fulkerson. It's not like it looked like that play was designed to go to John Fulkerson.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Frank Martin came out of the 2-3 zone and they just collapsed in on. But they should have. Their biggest mistake was not getting those big boys out.
Yeah.
They could have gotten those guys out.
Yeah.
They should have had Vescovi and.
Yeah.
And Bowden, the problem was that our guys, Bowden and Vescovi, I can't remember how many fouls Josiah Jordan James had on him, but the guys that could have, you know, drive to the basket and draw fouls off those guys, they were all sitting on 4 fouls. And as bad as that crew was the other day, I mean, you never know. What you don't want to do is try and draw a foul, and then suddenly you're without Jordan Bowden. And for the people that are wanting Bowden on the bench, I mean – yeah, be my guest. See what happens on defense if he's sitting on the bench.
Yeah. Right. I don't want him on the bench at all. And what I meant, let me kind of go a little bit further. What I'm saying is last year he didn't have to play the best offensive defender, the best offensive player. This year he's having to be, because he's the best defender on the court, he's got to play that guy. He's exhausted by the time he gets on offense. And so what that's what I mean by he can't hide anymore is because he's having to do everything on defense and then come on offense and
– Welcome to the good times, baby.
Yeah.
Last year he was Barnes's attack dog. Barnes, you know, whoever got the hot hand for the other team, unless it was just a big that he couldn't guard. I mean, when Tyler Herro came down here and was bellowing about nobody can stop me, I mean, immediately Rick Barnes called timeout, put Bowden on him, and he didn't score another basket.
Rick Barnes had this to say today on the inconsistencies and challenges of this season. If you would have told me when the season started that Lamonte Turner wasn't going to be here and Jordan Bowden was going to have his worst shooting year ever and for us to be even where we are, we have two guys on the roster who weren't even on the opening day roster. If you think about when the season started, we were expecting Lamonte, Jordan, and Triple J to play a lot. One of those guys is no longer with us. One is having as tough as a year as he's ever had, and the other has basically been hurt from the start. For us to be even where we are with those things, I'm really proud of these guys. And the fact that we had a guy that had 3 days of practice and has done a tremendous job, Euro set much of the year. I think a lot of teams go through these things. I don't think anybody feels sorry for them. I can only tell you what we've gone through. Right after Christmas, we were a team that looked like a shell of what we were when we started. Without Santiago, I don't know where we would be right now.
That last part's 100% true.
Yeah, I agree. Without Santiago, Tennessee's got 3 or 4 more losses on their season total right now, without a doubt in my mind. And you look at where this basketball team is. There was a play Saturday night where I was like, okay, Tennessee basketball is going to be real exciting in the future. Santiago took the ball, got it off the pass on the South Carolina's end, drove down the court, got stuck in the corner, a laser one-arm pass along the baseline to Jordan Bowden.
Nutmegged him.
So right then I was like, okay, if this young man can continue to get better, continue to figure out the offense, get in a strength and conditioning plan for a whole year, a whole offseason, Santiago Vescovi is going to be a player to watch next season in the SEC. Does he turn the ball over too much right now? Yeah. But at times he tries to force things, and I kind of understand it. You're trying to get something going on offense. You don't have many guys out there that you can lean on. Everybody knows on the team that Jordan's having the hiccups. No Lamonte. Triple J has been hurt. It's Eves and it's John Fulkerson. That's it. Right now, that's it. You got Olivier. God love him. He popped a 3 in the first half and just completely bricked it off. And I'm like, why are you taking that shot? That's not your shot. Get into the post. Euros. God love him. He just ain't ready yet. He's going to need a whole offseason again. And more work for him to be any kind of productive. 7'1" doesn't mean you're great at basketball. 7'1" means you're tall and you should be able to go rebound and be able to slam a ball home. He's got work to do, and that's okay. Tennessee basketball will get it figured out. This year is almost a mulligan, okay? I know fans don't like that. But, man, look around the country. Look at all the teams that are playing bad this year. Look at all the bad luck. Look at the Virginias. Look at the North Carolinas. Hell, even look at Louisville. I mean, I understand Louisville's played good basketball this year at times, but they've lost 2 or 3 straight. College basketball as a whole this year is not that good. Auburn is a team that can get exposed. I mean, Missouri beat them. They can't win on the road.
Conzo.
So what I'm getting at, LSU had problems this weekend as well. The SEC basketball tournament is going to be really interesting because I think there's going to be a team that surprises folks. I don't know who that is yet. Could be Alabama. I don't think it's going to be Florida. Could be Tennessee if Jordan Bowden starts to get hot. I know that's unlikely, but it could be.
If Bowden gets hot, is that going to be the difference in how far we go in the SEC tournament?
Bowden brings you an extra 10 to 15 points per game if he's hot. So if you had Bowden score at least 8 or 9 points this past weekend, more than what he finished with 5, Tennessee wins a basketball game. But you can't put it all on Bowden. You just can't. It's one of those things. It's a bad year put together. And we're going to talk about this during the show. We're going to take your phone calls, 865-546-8200. Joe Rexroad is going to join us at 4:15 from The Athletic. Talk more about this. Talk about things going on in Nashville. Talk about the SEC. What are the Titans going to do here in the offseason? And we're going to talk Vol basketball as well. We got spring practice starting in 3 weeks. Can't believe that's already here. Vol baseball rolling on. Lots of stuff to talk about. We'll do it. Daytona starting in about 45 minutes. We're 45 minutes away from the green flag dropping. We'll step out on the other side. When we come back, we'll take a deep dive into this. Take your phone calls as well. We're rolling along here on The Drive. Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.
Rolling back along here on The Drive on this Monday. Hope everybody's weekend was well. John Tyler.
What's up?
What'd you do this weekend?
I watched my Dallas XFL team get the crap kicked out of them.
Oh, tell me your whole weekend did not wrap around XFL football.
No, it didn't. I didn't do a whole lot. I started watching Handmaid's Tale on Hulu. Huh. It is really good, actually.
It's about people making stuff with their hands.
No, it's like this utopian society. Evidently, the U.S. government falls, and this ultra-religious sect throws out the U.S. government, and then they start taking in these handmaids who basically are the only women who can actually have babies. And so these men start...
Okay, well, that sounds interesting.
It is. It's really good. Yeah. Okay? I started watching that. Yeah. Started rewatching Lost.
I didn't start that.
And then the depression of Tennessee basketball.
That sounds horrible. Whatever. Okay.
I mean, then I watched the NBA All-Star game Sunday.
Okay, that was pretty good. I know we're going to get into Tennessee basketball more, but I will say last night's All-Star game, the fourth quarter, was actually the first time that I've watched a full quarter of NBA basketball in probably a year.
That was some of the most fun NBA basketball I've seen in years.
It's because they actually cared and they played defense.
It was phenomenal to watch. The best on one team versus a couple of the best on the other team.
Yeah.
I'm ticked.
I see where you're getting there.
I am ticked. Okay. Well, how does Team Giannis have Pascal Siakam on the floor and not Trae Young the whole fourth quarter? It is absurd.
Well, you must have had money on that last night.
No, I didn't. It was just stupid. And every possession was give it to Joel Embiid down low and let him, get fouled and then shoot free. Like, it was just ridiculous. The other guys, you had LeBron, AD, Kawhi,
okay.
Chris Paul.
Okay.
No, not Chris Paul. You had Kawhi Leonard and dude from Houston with the beard.
James Harden.
Those five versus Joel Embiid, Kyle Lowry, Giannis. Pascal Siakam.
I don't care about basketball this much.
Pascal Siakam and Kemba Walker. Are you telling me that was the best five you could have put on? No, it's not. That is the dumbest. That's why they lost. And they lost $300,000 for that charity because of them being stupid.
Well, that wraps up NBA talk that I did not want to get that much into, but... It is what it is. You know what I watched last night again? Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler.
I still haven't seen that.
That movie, first of all, Kevin Garnett, fantastic job acting.
Really
did a good job. Absolutely. Adam Sandler probably should have won an award for that. It was awesome. The ending will shock you.
Is that on Netflix?
Not yet. It's on Netflix if you're not in the United States.
Oh. Okay.
So if you go to Canada or across the border, you can watch it. But you can't watch it yet.
Is it worth it to drive to Canada to watch that movie?
It's a tough call. That's a tough call.
Right.
It's actually a really good movie. So that's one. It is about 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's got the lady from Frozen in it.
Adina Menzel.
The one that sings the song.
Gotcha.
That's stupid.
She's actually
song.
In it, not just her voice?
No, she's in it. So it was really good. Like, I had to watch it again because there were certain spots of it that kind of faded away last time. I just didn't quite remember. But yeah, no, that was good. Saturday, it was kind of chill. Got to watch some hoops a little bit. A couple games, man, just kind of blew my mind. The Alabama LSU game.
I was going to say
the Alabama LSU game. Alabama was up like 25,
yeah,
and they let LSU back in that. That was surprising to me. Now, look, they won at the end, and I understand that, but they about blew the damn thing.
I thought LSU was going to win. That's what they're – I mean, they're used to those close too. Games, you know?
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show you how crazy the SEC is this year.
Yeah, it's insane.
I
mean,
if that doesn't line it up, then I don't know what does. Because the SEC this year has been – how to say it nicely – as awkward as I've seen a conference probably in a couple years. This is the scores from this weekend. You had Mississippi State go into Arkansas and win on a tip at the end, 78-77. You had Kentucky get everything they wanted from Ole Miss, ended up winning 67-62.
In Rupp.
In Rupp, by the way.
The referees helped out there.
Ole Miss was up, too. Texas A&M beat Georgia in College Station. Georgia's a train wreck with potentially top five player in the country in Edwards. Alabama won 88-82 after giving up like a 25-point lead. Missouri just beat up on Auburn. There's nowhere else to put it. They just beat up on Auburn. I know the end score was 12 points, and I get that. But, man, they just beat them up. Yeah, Tennessee dropping a stupid game that they should have won. They should have won, 63-61. And then to cap it off, just to cap off the craziness that is the SEC on Saturday, Jerry Stackhouse decides to walk out in the O-Dome on that floor in a green freaking suit.
He looked like the Riddler.
I'm talking a straight up, head to toe, he's in green. It was awkward. It was weird. I don't know what the hell his stylist or his wife or whoever dressed him was telling him to do, but it was ugly, and he stood out. And then he gets so mad because his team's down like 43-19 at one point. He gets his ass ejected. He goes on the court.
Yeah.
Drops a couple MFs, and he's gone. And then as he's going off the court, he's still yelling at the referees, and his assistant coaches pretty much have to drag him off the court, pushing him off the court to leave. They are a wreck. That whole administration at Vanderbilt is a mess. Go read Chris Lee's article from VandySports.com. The only reason I'm pushing it is because he's my best bud, but he exposed it. He exposed Vanderbilt. That, I don't know how the hell they're still taking money from the SEC. I don't know how they're still getting checks from the Southeastern Conference. The way they spend their money in that administration is an embarrassment. They should be out of the conference. They should be in the SoCon Conference. It is an absolute train wreck of this Vanderbilt way. This Vanderbilt way. They let Malcolm Turner spend all that. Malcolm Turner, folks, if you don't know this, was the athletic director at Vanderbilt. They let him spend over $15 million, and then after he did it, they decided to bitch about it. That's when they did it. They approved everything that he spent, every piece of travel, every credit card charge, every invoice that came in, they approved it. And then what happens? At the end, they didn't want him there to begin with because the chancellor had stepped down. They decided they wanted to get rid of him. How do you get rid of him? You say he blew through $15 million and he hadn't spent anything well enough in the athletic department. It's an embarrassment. Vanderbilt is an embarrassment. The only thing good about that school is their baseball team.
Their medical center is pretty good.
I'm talking about athletics. Their school is one of the top schools in the country. It's an embarrassment.
So do you think they go after John Beilein?
Beilein? No, he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take it. It's gotten so bad over there that there are rumors that they have six official visits for basketball and they can only afford two of them. I'm not even lying.
Oh, that's so good.
They can only afford potentially two official visits because of the athletic cutting of the spending that's going on around there.
Take that, Vandy.
That's how bad it is. It's an embarrassment. If you want the truth, go read his article. I've already retweeted it.
Take that. Burn it down.
I didn't understand parts of it.
But. Yeah, I didn't understand parts of it either.
You know what? Do you not know what the Vanderbilt way is?
No. Scarves, Vanderbilt way nugs. Is losing us. I don't.
Well, that's the way.
I don't.
No, I'll give it to you in like 30 seconds.
Good.
Vanderbilt was promoting. Here's just a sense of it. Vanderbilt had told boosters that if you donate to the university anything above $250,000, we'll match it. We'll match your donation publicly, put it out there, blah, blah, blah.
How can you do that?
I forgot what family it was.
Oh.
It's in the article. A family donated $5 million to the basketball program.
Oh, my gosh.
Like last year. Vanderbilt announced it, but what did they leave out of their announcement? That they would match it. They don't want anything good to happen with athletics over there. That's the problem. They're so tied up in their academic ways that they're willing to let athletics go to the wayside. If it wasn't for baseball, that school would be in the drain. You got Jerry Stackhouse, man. He's only got one coach out on the road recruiting. I've also heard rumors, quote, rumors, the assistant coach is having to pay for certain things on the road because the university won't take care of it. It's a mess at Vanderbilt. Shows you how bad the Southeastern Conference is for letting them do this. But it's cool. I don't know how I got on this, probably because Vanderbilt was playing Florida, but I had to get it out.
I'm glad. Let
keep giving them that $45 million check every year, you know. Let them spend it on stupid stuff.
Like candy.
The athletic director went down to Memphis to meet with Jerry Stackhouse. He took a car service. His ass couldn't drive to Memphis. He got a chauffeur.
Well, he took a limo to Birmingham.
Well, that was the old athletic director, David Williams.
Oh, I thought it was a new one.
Can't hide money.
He got a chauffeur ride down to Memphis. It's 175 miles.
Why not just fly?
And then he didn't feel like riding back to Nashville. So he chartered a private jet from Memphis to Nashville.
Have you driven between Memphis and Nashville? That sucks.
He's just wasting money.
I don't blame him.
Just wasting money.
It's a wasteland, the west side of that state.
Jerry Stackhouse's ass couldn't figure out where he wanted to stay at Nashville, so they put him at the Lowe's Hotel for like 4 months.
What's a Lowe's Hotel?
Just a nice hotel in Nashville.
Is it full of lumber and nails and hammers?
Yeah.
I always thought it'd be cool to live in a hotel.
See, I did too. Maybe like a suite. Yeah. No, not like like a regular hotel room.
No.
Like the Motel 6 over here off Cedar Bluff.
No, I'm talking about like having a suite at like the Mayflower Hotel in New York City or somewhere.
Oh. Yeah, to live there, I think that'd be cool. To get room service, robes. Like, oh, no, get your beds fixed and everything every two days.
True. Slippers, robes.
Like take all the soap and shampoo.
Man, you wouldn't have to buy any soap or shampoo. They just bring it to you.
Right. Yeah, but they don't have the hydrogen peroxide in the shampoo.
What?
I put hydrogen peroxide in my shampoo.
We got to go to break, I think.
It cleans the pores. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I'll tell you all about it. Come back on the other side. We'll break down Tennessee basketball. Take your phone calls as well. 865-546-8200. Sorry about my Vanderbilt rant there. Had to get that out there. You guys need to go read it. It's pretty fantastic. They're just wasting money. Back on the other side. It's a drive. Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.
Yes. Thank you, Bear.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming back into Creed. That somehow Hayden has never heard of Creed. Now, I'm not saying their music is good, but I will say this. If you deny...
What's your favorite Creed song, Trey?
Probably Are You Ready?
Okay. You like Creed?
I did back in the day. Yeah, it was a banger album. The first one was probably a pretty banger album. You can't tell me that there weren't a few songs on that album back in the day that you jammed to. And then all of a sudden they weren't popular anymore, and you were stupid for listening to them, and now it's bad music. It wouldn't have sold that many albums if it was bad music.
I mean, you can never account for people's poor taste, but no, I was never a huge fan. No.
When you go play, okay, Bear, if I had to lock you in a room in detention where you're being held for 72 hours and you can only listen to one band and you have to pick Nickelback or Creed.
Oh, God.
You have to listen to one of them.
I'm hanging myself with a bed sheet, Trey. I'm not going to listen to that.
That's what hell's going to be like one day. Yeah, man, just Nickelback on repeat.
Is that what we were doing down there in Guantanamo?
Probably.
Nothing surprised me. You just you need to get up on the times. What's your favorite band, Jaden?
Well, Luke Bryan, Combs. It's about sums it up.
You can talk. You have a mic. If I'm going to go at you, you can at least talk. I didn't know who Creed was, by the way.
I'm pretty sure I did not say Luke Bryan.
Yeah, you did.
He said Eric Church.
Oh.
He
said Eric Church.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. It's all the same nowadays.
I like rap, too.
Shania Twain.
Didn't say
don't
that.
Hate on Shania Twain. Eric Church, I'll give you that. I like Eric Church.
I have a very wide range of musical tastes. I just don't like whatever.
What's the last concert you've been to?
I went to Thomas Rhett when he came to Knoxville.
Okay.
Not my favorite. But, okay. Oh, wow. I went to Garth Brooks, too. I'm not a big Garth Brooks guy, but he was a good entertainer.
You better watch your mouth, boy. You wash it out with soap. Tooth. Yeah, I was disappointed in that show. I was pretty pissed. I walked out of there mad.
The Garth Brooks show?
Yeah, I didn't walk out of there like I was waiting to see. I'd seen him like 9 or 10 times. I walked out of that show pretty pissed off. I was like, this was a waste of time. He played 11 songs.
I saw him when he was at TBA.
He didn't do an encore.
TBA, he was on point.
Yeah. But arena concert, you know, it was just different. He thought he could come out there and wave the damn Tennessee flag and everything was going to be fine. But then he plays 11 to 13 songs, then just goes off stage, ends the night with acoustic show, and it's just a big waste of time.
He got his money.
I was just sitting there, and I was like, yeah, he's not done. He can't be done. Nope, he's coming back on, I promise. And then the lights come up, and I was like, don't piss me off. Then waited in the G10 parking lot to get out for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. It's like the good old days of Tennessee football.
Maybe Tennessee football can get back to that point where you're having to wait 2.5 hours after the game.
Nah.
And not because 30,000 people have already left the game and the parking's pretty clear.
The last game that I had to wait to get out of a parking garage was the Oklahoma game. 3.5 hours I waited to get out.
Where did you park?
G11.
The underground?
No.
See, that's even worse. If I'm underground parked?
No, it's the one over. It's the one across.
Oh, come on, man. It ain't that hard.
It's over near World's Fair Park, isn't it?
Okay.
G11?
Yeah, and that one over there.
Oh, that one? Why would you? Yeah.
That was where our parking pass was at.
You just don't. I mean, if somebody gives you a G11 pass, you just don't. You don't use it.
No, it was the one we were given by the University of Tennessee. I mean, that was the last time we parked
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's since what I'm saying. You have to know better than to use.
Well,
that.
Since you go then sell we that for 20, and you pay for 20 somewhere closer.
Since then, we were at G16, but
I don't anybody pay for a G11.
Well, no, I didn't pay for it.
No, I was telling.
Yeah.
Trey. Yeah. No. I get it.
Nobody would pay for G11 because it's like being locked into the third plane of hell.
Literally.
Well, see, my dad made the mistakes. My dad's been a season ticket owner for like 25 years. Family has. They offered him, hey, you can park G10, but on the top. My dad was like, oh, okay, that might be cool. Like, my dad doesn't tailgate or anything. Mm. My dad, he used to back in the day. Like, we used to tailgate a lot. Now it's gotten to the point where he wants to show up 20 minutes before the game.
It's exhausting to tailgate.
Well, he wants to, he's not.
I mean, if you're the one setting it all up.
He's only 58 years old, but he wants to get to the game about 20 minutes before, get into his seat, and enjoy the game. But the problem is, in G10, the top, you can't drive anywhere if you get there an hour before the game because you feel like you're going to run into somebody or kill them.
That's true.
My dad drives a big truck. So he's trying to get through and navigate. Nobody gets out of the way on top of G10. No. Nobody. You can lay on the horn. They still won't move. That is the worst parking area unless you're having a good time at tailgating. If you're having a good time tailgating, it's fun.
Yeah, parked there for a few seasons. The dually years, unfortunately.
We've always been kind of, you know, my dad has, you know, either in the G10, like in the area, or top.
We parked there for basketball when I had the tickets. We parked there, which is nice for basketball. You just walk right over. But speaking of basketball,
I know.
I want to know, how did you take Rick Barnes' comments, Bear? That's what I want your opinion of how the way he was saying.
Which one?
You know, the comments about, you know, oh, you know, we're without Lamonte and we got two guys who weren't on the roster.
I didn't hear those. I mean, the one comment I did hear, I agreed with, was about the charge. Everybody
after ball, I watched it more, it is a charge.
See, I wanted to slow it down for everybody. Like, I wanted everybody to get a good
outside,
look.
He was outside the circle. The kid did get his feet set. And the biggest thing is, he was outside the circle. Fulkerson dropped his left shoulder,
which he had done like two or three other times.
Said all year long, if the person with the ball, if you drop your shoulder before you initiate contact, they're going to call it.
Can't tell me he didn't embellish a little bit, though.
Well, sure, but just like Fulkerson embellished when they were up here.
No, I know.
That's a great basketball play.
And the big thing was is they did not show a replay on the game, so I was like, all right, let me go find this thing. And I'm going to slow it down and give everybody a point of view. Here's an opportunity to look at it. And a lot of people thought it was a charge, and a lot of, you know, we had some people that didn't. And I understand. But you can't put yourself in that situation to begin with.
Exactly. Fulkerson had way too many turnovers in that game. He had been called on that exact same move two other times before that. So, of course, the ref was looking for it. The player was looking for it to happen. I think Rick Barnes called a horrible final 4.5 minutes of that game. Horrible. I get wanting to run the clock. I get that. You're on the road. You're up. Run the clock. But our team doesn't run the clock well. When Bowden dribbles the ball for 30 seconds at half court, and then you give it to Santiago finally, like there's no one else on the court to give the ball to but him. Are you kidding me?
It's an interesting situation that Tennessee put themselves in this weekend. When we come back on the other side, the ACC has had some winter meetings, and the transfer rules were discussed. They have now come out with a statement, the ACC on transfer rules. We're going to talk about that on the other side. Tell you what they had to say. Talk about this before we hit the top of the hour in the top 4 at 4. We're rolling along here. It's a Monday on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive. Suck. This is The Drive.
Back on The Drive on this Monday. Hanging out with John, Hayden, B. The ACC. They had their winter meetings. Yeah, I did just do that. The ACC has stepped up on a transfer rule. Here's the statement. Y'all be quiet. During the league's winter meetings, the ACC discussed the transfer environment and unanimously concluded that as a matter of principle, we support a one-time transfer opportunity for all student athletes, regardless of sport.
I love it.
Statement from the ACC. So they are supporting a one-time transfer. No matter what the sport is, you can be on the croquet team, the golf team, the swim team. You can transfer one time without penalty.
Football?
Any sport.
Basketball.
Tyler. Any damn sport.
Hockey.
So do you agree with it, or do you think
yeah.
this should? Okay.
I think it's great.
If you go outside the conference.
That's within the conference. One-time transfer within the conference.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. I'm saying, I'm asking.
Oh, okay. You, sorry. Go ahead.
Do you agree that if it's in conference, you have to sit out a year? Do you agree? And if you go out of conference, you don't have to sit out?
See, that's tough. I think I get not wanting to play. Like if Garantano transferred to Florida, I would get not wanting to play against him. Well, I mean, not really. But if he was good, you know, I wouldn't want to play against him. So maybe within the conference, yeah, I could see sitting out a year. Outside the conference, not sit out. I like that. I like that idea, actually.
It makes things...
Unless you're not on their schedule.
Well, here's the thing. It worked out for Chase Rice, the quarterback from Clemson. He's going from Clemson to Duke.
Okay.
But pretty sure he was a grad transfer.
He was.
Yeah, so it really doesn't matter. So now he's going to go up against his old team this year.
But they couldn't have stopped that anyways.
Grad transfer rules are different. Regular one-time rules, if you get a one-time and you're able to transfer, I don't really, in my opinion, it shouldn't matter where you go. But you've got to transfer within a certain time. You got to transfer from right after the last game of the season.
Right.
And you get until...
Like a transfer window.
And you get to... Right. And you get till right before spring practice starts. Gotcha. Something like that.
Yeah.
Or you could set up that time. And then what you could do is if you want to set up a time, okay, you could transfer from right after spring practice, the day after spring practice ends, I don't know, up until June.
Like two windows.
Like you have a transfer window.
An early and a late.
Right, exactly.
Gotcha. But that makes sense, and so we probably want the SEC.
Well, I mean, I think what that does is it cuts a lot of the bull that happens where a guy transfers out, and it doesn't happen a lot. It does not happen a lot. But a guy transfers out in July, puts the team in an interesting situation, because you can always hit the grad transfer portal. You can always hit the transfer portal. Karak Garland did that for Tennessee this year. Karak Garland came back to Tennessee. Did it right before fall camp started. Earlier than that. And then he came back towards the end of fall camp. So what I'm getting at is if we're going to do these transfers, because there are thousands of kids in the transfer market right now, transfer portal. So the problem is a lot of these kids aren't finding a spot to go to school. There are probably 300 to 400 kids that will not get into a school or be able to play Division I football this year and have to go JUCO because they entered their name into the portal, they took a risk, and it didn't come through. That's why nowadays you see, I get where the rules state, you can't have conversations with schools before you transfer, but I promise you that's what's happening. I promise you that's what. Direct King?
Mm-hmm.
I promise you he had a conversation with Miami before he put himself in the grad. De'Aaron King, before he put himself in the transfer portal. Let's take it closer to home. Velus Jones? Probably had a conversation with Tennessee before he entered his name into the transfer portal. He didn't technically have to because he's a grad transfer. But he was last season. Took an unofficial visit here to Tennessee last year.
Do you think that they should be allowed to go back to their school if they don't like get picked up somewhere else? Like if you enter the if you enter the portal, you can't come back.
If it's under a good circumstance, I do. Like Will Ignat and Shannon Reed, nah, they weren't coming back to Tennessee once they entered the name of the portal.
Yeah.
But a guy like Karak Garland who doesn't get in trouble, who's a good kid just looking for playing time and then decided, okay, I'm going to go out here and just try to earn it. And what happens? He's a part of one of the biggest plays of the season against Kentucky on 4th and 1.
How do you govern that process, though, if, like, in the Mel Tucker situation where he ditches Colorado? What's preventing everyone on that team from just saying, I'm done?
Not everyone on the team, but the ones that signed this year should get a 3 to 4 week window. And that's the problem is you can't sign. You could sign a national letter of intent up to a certain date, but right now it's in a situation where, here's the thing. If these kids want out of their scholarships, they can go to that athletic director, Rick George. I'm 95% sure he would let them out of their scholarship.
What I'm saying
is, where do you go, though?
The players on the team already that haven't transferred. If this was the rule, you could transfer anywhere one time. What's preventing the 90 players on that team from just saying, all right, I'm transferring, and then Colorado's left with no one?
Because I think you're in a situation where the kids already are falling in love with the university itself. I'm not saying all of them have. I'm not saying all of them have. But I am saying that if Jeremy Pruitt left tomorrow.
Well, no, not everyone's going to leave. But there may be a situation moving forward where
10 players, 15 players, absolutely.
40 players. 40 players say, you know what, forget it. We're going to transfer out.
Okay, but then you have to look at it. Where the hell are you going to transfer?
I don't know.
You're going to go play Division II football?
Maybe.
Because you got to think, a lot of these teams, I know we have to take a break. We're going to continue this.
No, ain't no way going to play Division II.
But the reality is, in today's time, if you're an incredible football player, you're going to get found by the NFL.
Yeah, but the reality of the situation is
there's not
a lot of spots open for these schools anymore.
I get it.
A perfect example before we go to break. If Zach Evans, this recruit, wanted to – if Zach Evans wanted to, he could go to the University of Toledo, go put up crazy numbers, and then after 2 years, go play in the NFL.
Or 3 years.
3 years. Go play in the NFL. Yeah. 3 years. That's what he could do. without having to go through all the crap of going to Florida, Ole Miss, Tennessee, all this, go play at Toledo for a couple of years and then get out of there and go do it. I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about this more. Top four of four is coming up. We got Joe Rexroad joining us at 4:15. Daytona, the green flag's about to drop down there. We'll keep you covered every 20 or 30 laps. Rolling along here on the drive this Monday, Fox Sports Knoxville. The Drive.